Okay, let's go back to Romans, and here's the theme, how to keep living in the Spirit. So this is what we've been thinking about, and there's about a 3-week gap since we last thought about that, this theme. But we've looked at Romans 7, and we saw what the flesh was, this equipment of ours, this body, and the brain that's in the body, and the way that the brain and the body are sort of tied together. So we don't just think thoughts without feeling. We think and we feel what we think. And sometimes our feelings are feelings that take our thoughts away in a direction that maybe we shouldn't be going in, because the flesh has desires. Our mind will follow those desires. So flesh is a troubling thing in the life of a Christian. That what we are, and it's a troubling thing in the life of a non-Christian as well, because in a non-Christian, that's all they have, flesh. And as flesh, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. You can't, if all you are is flesh and blood, then you have no hope of coming closer to God. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. We thought about that, we thought about being led by the Spirit. And I want to think today about how to be in the Spirit, how to be filled with the Spirit, and what we can do in order to maintain a close relationship with God. So we'll go back to Romans, and you know, the title does imply, and you and I know this, that it's easy to be a Christian and not to keep on living in the Spirit. It's easy to be a Christian and to begin in the Spirit and then to end up in the flesh. Paul says that in Galatians 3. He says to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to continue in the flesh? And so, you know, as Christians, we can be close to God and filled with the Spirit at one stage, and then we can come out of that into just relying upon ourselves again and our own character, our own discipline, our own force of personality, our own gifts, our own strengths, many of which, of course, are actually in reality spiritual weaknesses and liabilities. So what we're seeing here then is it's not a given that Christians, once they become Christians, they'll just go forward from strength to strength. By no means is that the case. So what we're trying to think about is how to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit as Christians. So we start at Romans 8:5. And, you know, this is a picture of two kinds of lives. Those who live according to the flesh, the sinful nature. In other words, you can explain everything about them with reference to their humanity, with reference to their body and their brain. There's nothing more. There's nothing of God. It's just what they are. Those who live according to that, the flesh, have their mind set on what that nature deserves. So they're constantly following their hearts, as we say, or following their feelings, following their desires, and that's what guides them. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. There are two kinds of lives that are possible. As Christians, when we get closer and closer to Jesus, our flesh doesn't change. You know, something doesn't happen in the atoms and molecules of our bodies to somehow make them godly. And nothing happens in our brain wiring to somehow make us godly, and somehow make us that we will get out of following the wrong feelings of the flesh and suddenly want to do what God wants all the time. It doesn't happen. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you, then you will just fall back into the old ways, the old flesh ways. But we have the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us enables us to live in a better way. As Paul says in Ephesians 1, he says, having believed, that's us, hopefully, having believed in Jesus, you are marked with in Jesus with a seal, and the seal is the promised Holy Spirit. And as it says also in Romans 8 and verse 9, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and we don't need to be just in the flesh. We can be something better, something different, something that can only be explained because God is in us. So we have these two sources of desire. The verse says, in us, we have what the flesh wants, what the sinful nature wants, and we have what the Holy Spirit wants. And these two desires, as Paul says in Galatians 5, they're against each other. They're at enmity. It's not like the Holy Spirit usually wants what the flesh wants, or the flesh usually wants what the Holy Spirit wants. No, they're actually in enmity. Galatians 5, the flesh lusts, says Paul. The flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they're at enmity with each other, so that you are not to just do what you want, is what Paul says. So, what Paul's presenting here to us then is what Christian life should look like. In other words, what we might call the normal Christian life, normal Christian experience. So let's just go through it, line by line. So as we read the different things that are coming up, just think to yourself, is this my experience just now? Because this is the normal Christian experience. So first one is Romans 8:4, I walk according to the Spirit. And then Romans 8:5, I am according to the Spirit. And that's just what the translation says. Literally says, I'm in the Spirit. And here we go, 8:9, I am in the Spirit. Is this me? By the Spirit, I kill the deeds of the body, the desires of the flesh. Don't follow them. I kill them. And I'm led by the Holy Spirit in my life. This is just what Paul's saying here. It's just what he presents us, the way Christians must be. And the Spirit testifies with my spirit within me. He testifies with my spirit that I am the child of God. Oopsie, we'll come to that one in a minute. Okay. So this is a normal Christian experience. You can look at that and say, yes, praise the Lord tonight, that's me. Or you might look at that and say, I know what that's been like in the past, but it's not me just now. Or, you know, you might even say, I don't know if I ever really quite got into that place. So what we want to think about tonight is, how can we be in the Spirit as Christians? How can we be in this normal place as Christians in a relationship with God? Because this is the way we should be. Now, here's a key verse. So the command in this verse is double. And the one we obviously focus on is be filled with the Spirit. But look at the first half of the verse. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. So when you're drunk on wine, that means that your any kind of inhibitions are loosened, and the flesh gets even more in a say in how you behave, and the flesh shows its nature, debauchery. But instead, don't be like that. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, you may know that Paul uses tenses in the verbs there that are continuous. In other words, what he literally says is, don't go on getting drunk, but go on being filled with the Spirit. Don't go on getting drunk. You know, I mean, he's obviously writing to people in Ephesus who, well, a lot of them were rather keen on wine and on getting drunk and whatever flowed after that. He says, that's not anymore the way of the Christian. Just don't do it at all. Because if you do it, you're in the flesh. If you do it, You have nothing of God about you. Be filled with the Spirit. And go on being filled with the Spirit. So he says, it's like in the past, you know, every day you woke up, the flesh desired the debauchery. The flesh desired the intoxication. Or whatever it was. It might not have been wine, could have been something else. But you desired to be filled up on whatever it was that was your thing that gave you kicks, to the point of you being under the influence of whatever that thing was. And it could have been greed, yeah, as well. It could have been pride. All sorts of delusions that are in the human heart. And Paul's saying the Christian is someone who seeks to completely stay away from that kind of influence of the flesh and instead be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you stay in that position? How do you go on and on and on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if you find yourself tonight thinking, well, I saw what I should be like and it's not really as much as I want to be that I'm like that, I'm hardly or I'm scarcely influenced by the Spirit, and yet I see Paul's command saying I must go on being filled with the Spirit, but I don't feel like I am filled with the Spirit just now. But Paul says I must be filled with the Spirit. What do I do? What do I do as a Christian? Well, Paul never answers that question in this way. He never says, you know, okay, so you want to know what to do to be filled with the Spirit? I'll give you 5 steps to being filled with the Spirit. He doesn't do that. He never does that. It'd be kind of nice, we think, if Paul would do that. He would just say, well, if you do this, 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 and this, then by 11 o'clock at night, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or if you do this today, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit tomorrow. But you see, if you did do that, you understand now, I'm sure, that's legalism. If Paul said, right, in the flesh, you go and do these 5 steps, then you'll be filled with the Spirit. But remember, the flesh never takes you closer to God. If you're trying to do 5 steps in the flesh, you'll be 5 steps further away from God, and not 5 steps closer. So there isn't ever a series of instructions that says, here's what to do to be filled with the Spirit. Well, why is that? Well, for a start, the ideal thing is that you never have to start up again as a Christian. The ideal is that you're always filled with the Spirit. That you always have the Spirit and that you keep the Spirit in your life. Why is it that you can't just be given a set of instructions to be filled with God? Well, again, it's just a set. The flesh always takes you further away and not nearer. And so God can't make a deal with you. He can't say to you tonight, so if you will just do these 5 things, then I'll come and fill you with my Spirit. Because we would never do the 5 things in the way that God, the Holy God, would want us to do them anyway. Because we're in the flesh, and our desires are going to get in there, and we're going to spoil anything that we try to do for God by our unholiness. So you just can't do deals with God. You can't do bargains with God. You can't earn anything with God. We should know this from the tips of our toes to the tops of our heads as Christians. It should be so deeply written into us, and yet we keep on trying this thing of trying to make God come on side with us. Again, you might look back on a time. I remember what happened when I was filled with the Spirit on that occasion, what I did beforehand. So I'll go and try and do that thing that I did beforehand, and then I'll be filled with the Spirit again. But that's the same thing. That's trying the flesh to be filled with the Spirit. What we need to always keep in mind is, I never, ever can make God come to me. Can't do it. If God comes to me, he's going to come as a free gift. A gift of grace. A gift of salvation. And I've got to remember this final thing. This is the most important thing of all. For Christians, we say God is our Father. Now, it's a relationship. Imagine finding out in a relationship that you have, maybe with your husband or wife, maybe with your friend. Imagine finding out, well, let's say with your friend. Let's not make any difficulties in anyone's marriage here. But let's say it's with your friend. And your friend one day says, what's that book you're reading? And you sort of, try to hide it from him. Keep it out of sight. No, tell me, what is it? So eventually you have to own up. The book is called How to Get What You Want from Your Friend. Okay? Now imagine. Imagine if it was your wife. What's that book? Oh, it's a bedtime reading. I'm reading a book that says How to Get What You Want from Your Wife. Or wife, you're reading a book that says How to Get What You Want from Your Husband. How do you think your husband would feel if that was a book you wives were reading? How do you think your friend would feel if you were reading a book, How to Get What You Want from Your Friend? You wouldn't like him. They wouldn't like him. And the bottom line is, don't try that with God. It's not like, I want to be filled with the Spirit because I like being filled with the Spirit. I feel so much better. I'm less anxious. I'm less worried. I feel good. I feel happier. I feel more joyful. I want to be filled with the Spirit. So I'm going to try and get that from God. It doesn't work. It's a relationship. And if God is going to fill you with His Holy Spirit, it's going to be a gift. And it's going to be for His purposes, not for yours. And it's going to be to enhance your relationship with Him, not to enhance you getting your own way. Or think of it slightly differently. Think of it, like you want to sail a boat. And think of it like the wind isn't blowing. There is nothing you can do to make the wind blow. So if you're out in the middle of wherever you live, the Plockton or Glenshiel or out the frontier in the Kyle, and you're sitting in your yacht, becalmed, there's nothing you can do to make the wind blow. And we need to be like that as Christians and just realize there is nothing I can do to make God come to me. Nothing. But at the same time, when the wind does blow, you want to be in your yacht on the loch. You don't want to, put your yacht away in a boat shed and then the wind starts blowing. Ah, missed it. You want to be where the wind is going to blow. So these are two important things, two important principles for Christians. And it's about relationship, and we must remember that. We're helpless in the relationship because we need salvation. We need God's rescue. We're completely helpless without Him working in our lives and on our behalf to bring us to Him. We need Him to do that. We need His help completely. And that is the basis of our relationship with God. Because unlike the wind in the yacht story, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. And so if we as Christians are more influenced in our lives by what we want, whether it's even what we want God to give us or what we want to get out of God, if we're more influenced by what we want than by what God wants, and if we're more influenced by the flesh than by the Holy Spirit, then our relationship with God deteriorates, because it is a relationship. Paul describes this in two very important passages. Let's put them both up there. He says, don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. So if He is in me, and He's filling me, and I want to use that filling so that I'll feel good, or so that I feel good about doing what I want, then very, very quickly, I'll not be filled with the Spirit. My relationship with God will go downhill, Because if I try even to use the Holy Spirit, or to use the filling of the Spirit for my own ends, then the Holy Spirit will be grieved, because we are filled with the Spirit to do the will of God, to do the will of the Spirit. So we need a new beginning to be filled with the Spirit, if we're not tonight. And we remember that's how you even become a Christian. You become a Christian from nowhere, in spiritual terms. You become a Christian because you have come to the place that you recognize that you are without God, and that your sins, your desires, the flesh, is actually your undoing. And it may come in all many different forms, but in the end, the heart of becoming a Christian is a recognition that, left to myself, I'm doomed. I'm doomed because my own desires are going to take me further from God and further into a mess in my own life, and personally and in this life and in the next. And I need God. I need God. And I have to have God on His terms. I have to have God come to me on His terms. And it's not going to be about me showing God what I can do for Him. It's about Him showing Jesus to me, what He does for me. And that's the beginning of the relationship. That's how we receive the Spirit of God into us. But then we need to move forward. So let's look at a few things that are very important in that. I'm not saying there's steps that you need to do, because that's legalism again. But, you know, this is about being out in the water with your sail up, even if it's flat calm. This is being out in the water. This is being in the right place. You have to pray. You have to be praying as a Christian. You have to be speaking to your Father. If you're not speaking to your Father, you know, what's wrong? Well, there's nothing wrong with Him. Nothing wrong with Him as a Father. It's all that's wrong with you that's the problem. And that's something you need to recognize. Prayer is difficult, like, in the sense that you don't really want to speak to God, then there's something wrong with you. Sometimes prayer is difficult because, you know, we're not well, or we're exhausted, or whatever. Well, that's different. But if the desire is not even there to speak to God, there's something wrong with you. Not with God, because God is a good Father. And when you see it that clearly, you'll want to speak to Him. Here's another thing, and that's confess. We need to be in the way of confession as Christians. We need to spot things about us that are keeping us away from God. What about us as flesh? What about us, our desires that are taking us away from God? Desires that are in us that take us from God. Perhaps in the flesh, we're trying to keep control of our lives. I know that's a big thing today. People love to be in control. We all do. And being in the flesh is about being in control. You getting to do what you want. But being in the Spirit is about God being in control. The NIV uses that word in this passage. It's not actually there in the original language, but, you know, he says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And literally, Paul just says, the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. It's not like God is controlling, like He's at the controls of our lives and we're just sort of robots doing this. That's not a good picture to have. So we have to recognize that it's we who want to be in control. God wants us to love Him. We want to get what we want. But God is not going to force us to give Him what He wants. He wants it to come from us, willingly, from our hearts, because we're filled with His Holy Spirit. So we need to confess things like, sorry Lord, I wanted to be in control. I resisted change in my life. I resisted anything that maybe would make me stand out of line in my community, among my friends where I work. They would say, oh, so you're getting a bit sort of extreme in your holiness. I don't mind you going to church, but, you know, now you're actually You're actually talking about Jesus. You know, now you're actually, you're not joining in the stuff of the flesh that we like. You know, that's where we need to confess all these things. Lord, I'm sorry that I have been unwilling to love you and take the consequences of that. It's a very important little verse here at the end, just the very end of a reading. It says, we are the children of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. And the sufferings of Christ, among other things, are that he was filled with the Spirit, and so he didn't fit in with what the flesh wanted, with what the Pharisees wanted, with what the leaders wanted, you know, with what the people sometimes wanted, as they wanted to make him king and so on. And there was suffering involved because he was out of line with everyone else. So, yeah, let's just keep moving here. So, when we pray, we need to confess, we need to say sorry, we need to seek forgiveness. These are important things. We need to really do this. We need to ask, we need to beg for the Lord to come by his Spirit again if we have lost that grace of being filled and being guided by his Holy Spirit. We need to do that. We must never think of this as a technique. We must never, you know, if we ever spot ourselves, now I see what I'm doing here, is I'm trying to kind of twist God's arm here by saying, look, Lord, look what I'm doing. You better do your bit. If you ever hear yourself do that, no, Lord, sorry. Anything you do in my life is going to be a free gift. So, and again, to be filled with the Spirit, we need to go to where the wind is, or where the wind's likely to blow, I should maybe have put there. To go to where the light wind's likely to blow, read the Bible. Pray, obviously, as we've just said. Fellowship. Meet with the church. Meet with other Christians. If there's anything going on in the community where the Christians can be built up and encouraged, be there. Praise God. You know, make that part of your life. Praising God. Seek pastoral help if you need it. But you know, be where the Spirit is likely to come. Be where the wind is likely to blow. And, you know, watch for the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Watch for those times where you think, you know, I think actually God is saying to me here, no, don't do that. I think actually God is leading me here, you know, to do that, which I'm scared of or I'm afraid of, or it might make me look too pious or something in other people's eyes, but I think the Holy Spirit, you know, look out for that kind of sense. Whenever the Holy Spirit is leading you, the Bible will say it's okay. You know, it'll always be something the Bible says that you should be doing anyway. You know, whether it's love or being humble or sharing your faith or whatever, that's the kind of way the Holy Spirit will be leading you. And you know, when you do get that kind of time in your life, think, thank you, Lord, you've come. There's a grace of your Spirit in my life now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you've revived me from being in church and worshipping, or you've revived me from, you know, the fact that I took an hour to really soak up this little passage in the Bible that I'm reading, and you sense the Spirit of God, then, you know, put up your sails, you know, try and keep going with that. And again, don't do what us Christians we often do. When we start to feel good again in the Spirit, our conscience is happy again, and we're feeling a bit more holy and a bit more godly and a bit close to God, then we go off and do our own thing. Because we're feeling good. And we feel good so we can go off and please ourselves. Well, then we won't be feeling good in the Spirit as a result of that very quickly. So sail with the wind. Don't tie and tack some other direction that you want to go yourself. Basically what we're seeking is what Jesus had. And I say this carefully, but I've emphasized this time and again in the last year, I guess. You know, as Christians, we are to be like Jesus. And Jesus had this poise in his life. It was like walking a tightrope, and somehow he stayed on that tightrope the whole of his life. And the tightrope said, you know, Lord, you're leading me this way, but I can't do it. Because the flesh is strong. Unless you fill me with your Holy Spirit, and with your Spirit's help, I can go this way. And your Spirit is helping me, so I will go this way. You just kept doing that, moment by moment. The help of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. The help of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit, the help of the Spirit. Jesus walked that tightrope, that poise. He kept it always in his life, and that's what we're seeking. So let me just conclude now. You know, is what I'm saying right here? Like, can you be a Christian, have the Holy Spirit in you, and it doesn't make any difference? Can you actually have the living God dwell in you, as every Christian has, and it's not going to make any difference? You're not going to be led by him, you're not going to be empowered by him, you're not going to be rebuked by him, you're not going to be convicted by him, you're none of that. You're just going to carry on your life, kind of do Christian things, but it's not going to make any difference that the Spirit is in you. Well, of course not. Can you be a great Christian without the Holy Spirit? No, you can't be a Christian at all without the Holy Spirit. So, on the day when God meets with us, the day we die perhaps, we go and be with him, meet with him. Day of judgment, we meet with Christ. You know, as God, are we going to be able to say to God, or you know, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to say, you know, where were you? And is God going to say, well, I was actually inside you all the time, I was just hiding? Well, of course not. Of course not. You know, that would be no relationship. Instead, God will be able to say to us, why? When I led you, did you not follow? You'll be able to see that. Why, when I filled you, did you then just carry on going your own way? Why, when I, in my grace, came to you afresh in your life, and you knew a deeper closeness with me, did you not direct your life towards me? But you continue directing your life towards what you want. Why? That's what God will be able to see, I believe, just from this teaching in this passage. Now, we are God's temple tonight. The temple of the living God. And in the temple, God would manifest his glory. His glory doesn't come because the priests are all doing everything they do, and it's perfect, and God is so impressed with them that he comes. So the glory of God comes as a matter of his gift, as a grace, as something he freely gives to us. The Holy Spirit comes as a gift in a relationship with God. And so when he's there, we honor him. When he's not there, we hunger and thirst for him and break our hearts that he's not there until God in his grace once again comes to us. And his glory is upon us. Now, it's a personal thing. I can't tell you tonight, you know, I did this, so if you do that, it'll be great for you too. It's just a personal thing. It's a relationship. And this is one of the privileges. We're all different, so our relationship with God is going to be different. God treats us as we like to be treated, and as we like to treat others and have them treat us, as individuals. You're unique. Unique person. God will treat you as a unique person, and will treat you as a person who he knows and understands completely, and wants to help you know and understand yourself as well, and know and understand him. It's a relationship. It's personal. So what you have to do is get on the adventure. If you're not on it, stay on the adventure if you are. The relationship. Hesitate to use the word romance, although some Christian writers do speak about that in their relationship with the Lord. But certainly, it is a rich, rich friendship. It's a rich, rich child's relationship with his or her Heavenly Father. And it's personal. But it's got to be something that we want. And when we haven't got it, or it's not good, we seek that it be better. And when it is good, that we seek to keep it good by keeping on doing what our Heavenly Father wants us to do, following the Spirit's leading, enjoying the Spirit's confidence and empowering in our lives. So it's a relationship. Tonight, God is calling me and you once again to be his children and to walk with him in the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. Heavenly Father, we confess that these things, they inspire us, they rebuke us, they expose the inadequacy of our relationship with you. But we know, Lord, all of the inadequacy and all of the shallowness and all of the brokenness in our relationship with you is in us. It's all our side that's wrong. There's nothing ever wrong with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for that. There will never ever be any fault found in you. Jesus himself, who was in perfect, perfect harmony with you, never ever found anything other than a perfect Father as he drew closer and closer to you in his life. So help us, Father, to walk with you now and always, and to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to be led by him and empowered by him, and to be beautiful with the beauty that Jesus had. Amen.